They were talking about how it actually went down in 2009 and 2010 when fast food accounted for 10% of kids' daily calories, and now it's up to over 14%. So it was, like I said, we went down and now we're back up, and that kind of trend's even more, frightening to me because this is from 2018. We're in the basically in the smack middle of COVID, where, I mean, we saw all the freaking Uber Eats and DoorDash and
Oh my gosh, yeah.
delivery from McDonald's, Burger King, all the fast food places now deliver.
It's even more available.
It's even more available now, and even more so now with the economy, people either having less money. Probably and then having even more reason not to go to the grocery store.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Welcome back to another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are back. We are ready. You're making faces at me.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready to rock. We got an important topic to talk about today, and I'm pumped up for it.
Yeah, this is actually going to be a research slash study that we found. We're going to revisit a topic that we have talked about probably many, like a dozen times before, but this is new information, and we love new information. So we're going to break it down for you. It's on the topic of fast food consumption, specifically how that might be contributing to some maybe obesity issues in the younger set specifically. So we'll get into more of the details there. But before we do, we just wanted to jump in with our training recaps.
Absolutely. So, I think we had a group workout this week between you and I. I guess a couples workout. I think it was Thursday. Because then I remember vividly, or I remember it just distinctly because I think I pulled my little muscle in my back that day. So I remember doing a kettlebell workout while you were on the Peloton.
There's lots of noises.
And I did about halfway through the workout, but kept powering through, but definitely felt it for the rest of the day. But luckily, and this would be something I'm pumped for, but I guess I'm just gonna give it away now because I have something else during that section. But I've been seeing a stretching specialist and massage gun specialist as
Oh,
of late.
those. I've been seeing a lot of ads for those on Instagram.
So it was, I've been seeing this. Actually, a client of mine bought me some sessions. I've been going to her, and it seems like I'll be actually be able to get on a good weekly regimen with her. So I went with her. Basically, it was scheduled for the same day. I actually pulled my back, so I don't know if it was.
Did it help?
It was pretty beneficial. Yeah,
You
it
feel like
definitely
your
helped.
recovery was faster?
I think so. Yeah. So it besides icing it later that day and taking it easy as far as weights for the rest of the week, that's what I did. But yeah, feeling better now and. I tested it out with flying Ella around and doing horsey rides with Ella and spinning in the middle of the family room and felt pretty good today.
Well, I'm glad to hear
Oh,
it.
thank you. Well, I know you did pretty good on the Peloton a couple times, right?
Yeah, I finally got to a point this past week where last week you might have noted I had a little bit of a husky voice. It's because I had a cold and it hung on for like a solid week and then it started to get better. And now I'm getting closer to normal, but basically, as soon as I felt like I wasn't going to just be hacking the entire time, I jumped back on the Peloton because it had been weeks since I've been on that baby and I missed it so much. So I just did a couple of short, like 20-minute workouts this week. Again, I wasn't trying to like clear out my lungs because I work out at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning when Ella's still asleep, and I really didn't want to wake her up. In fact, we did wake her up the first day. I don't know how, or she just woke up it timed out to when we were like, I think you were getting ready to work out or you were doing something and I was just starting my workout.
Yeah.
So you ended up taking control of the situation, jumping in and kind of getting her situated. She came in like for the second half of my workout and she just kind of hung out with me. She's so cute. But yeah, it felt really, really good to get back after that. And then I feel like today cleaning was my workout. I feel like that should have counted.
And construction.
Cleaning and construction, yeah. And then unpacking. We tackled some, I think these are about 7.5 foot bookshelves we constructed today. And there's three of them. They're probably about 6 feet, 5.5, 6 feet wide, and like 7.5 feet tall. So, mm-hmm. I mean, these are not tiny. These were decent construction. And then I moved all the boxes and unpacked all of the books. And yeah, and I washed every window in the house because I found a new thing to clean windows, which was, doesn't sound exciting, but it so made my weekend. And also, this was my birthday weekend.
Absolutely. Yep.
My birthday was actually a couple days ago, but we got to go out for a nice dinner last night, and it felt really good.
Yeah.
Today to just clean real hard and sweat out all the cake and ice cream and all that stuff that That's I true. Ate yesterday. So it was a good one.
Yeah, it was a kind of, it was interesting returning back to the something, some a little semblance of normalcy that we used to do, the date night
the
regularly.
Date night, know?
So
I
that
know.
was definitely enjoyable and. Not quite the same, but it was definitely a lot. It wasn't as far a departure as we thought probably was. So hopefully that's a good thing, you know, I think so. Maybe hopefully that trend keeps going and we can do that again in the future.
Yeah.
Or sooner rather than later, I guess I should say. Definitely in the future, but yeah. All right, so... let's jump into this this research that you're discussing in the beginning about the fast food. Basically, there's extensive studies done. It's more of a survey of adolescent children, basically what they considered anywhere from 2 to 19 years old is what they considered adolescent children. And there's this study's done, I think it's done every 2 or 3 years. And the most recent data release was from 2015 to 2019, and the information says that over 36% of U.S. kids ate fast food on any given day from 2015 to 2018. So, I mean, that is a large, I mean, you're talking about over one third of kids, age 2 to 19, ate fast food on a given day. I think an even more alarming number within that survey is that over 10% of the kids surveyed ate over 45% of their caloric intake for a day was from fast food.
Yeesh.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're thinking, I mean, maybe probably, you know, one full meal and then going back and getting more fast food later in the day, at least 2 trips to getting fast food in a day. That was at least 1 out of 10 kids in the survey did that. So that's really, you know, kind of disturbing. And the study itself is, I'm going to go ahead, the National Health and Nutrition Examinations Survey. You know, it's kind of, we're looking at a article from MedPage Today that gives you details about the study itself, but obviously you can go, on the CDC website and check out the survey yourself. But a lot of scientific jargon in it. So this website, I mean, this, article does a really good job of breaking down some of the main points, but what they did talk about is that, they estimate that usually surveys like this can basically gather information from over 19,000 survey participants. So they don't give an exact number of survey participants, but as I said, about 19,000 people of all ages provided data to this survey during the two biennial. So two, yeah, right. So two every 2 years, right?
Iteration. Well, it could technically mean twice a year or every other year.
Gotcha. So, yeah, and, you know, obviously, if you looked at this study, I was looking at the study specifically, all the sample kind of procedures and whatnot, they do a lot of different calculations and weighting of different subgroups and whatnot in order to make the results basically representative of the entire population. So this is not one of those kind of... obviously, it's based on survey. It's like, you know, people interviews, conducting interviews with individuals. They also do medical reviews or medical examinations. But so it's pretty extensive. So I think this information is pretty substantial, you know, pretty accredited. You know, this there is some good, I guess there's some good in this, in the fact that 64% of the U.S. youth don't consume any fast food on a given day. So I guess that's a good way of looking at it, you know? So, I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something.
But if you look at this in even more in more detail, it's obviously they break it down via sex and demographics, ethnicity specifically. You know, they didn't have too much real differentiating between men and or male and females. As I don't know, let's say as you can imagine, but they did find a larger percentage of non-Hispanic blacks and Hispanics ate fast food more regularly. Adolescents in those ethnicities ate fast food more regularly than basically non-Hispanic white ethnic group. So, you know, that's and they talk about it in this article that it's I don't know if it's another example of maybe these individuals or these communities not getting the education that they need in order to make proper choices.
I mean,
proper nutrition choices.
It's probably a lot about like convenience and what they have access to. I mean, fast food is probably a lot more readily available in some of those communities, and it's maybe that's breakfast, or you know, that's like,
yeah,
you know, when you've got a lot of people running out the door and you need to get some breakfast in them, or you need to give them food, maybe you just throw some money at them, like, you know, people working long hours. There's so many things that can contribute
to this,
but there is some socioeconomic trends for sure.
The thing, the interesting thing about this, not even, you know, obviously that aspect about it breaking down over different demographics, and it's the fact that this was basically an increase from, I think it was, let me see, I think it was 2000.
It went down, and then it went up.
Yeah, so like, like I said,
but it went up even higher than like 2 years prior or two times prior. So it's not a good trend,
right? So yeah, it's they were talking about how it actually went down in 2009 and 2010 when fast food accounted for 10% of kids' daily calories, and now it's up to over 14%. So it was like I said, we we went down and now we're back up, and that kind of trend's even more, you know, frightening to me because this is from 2018. You know, we're in the basically in the smack middle of COVID, where, I mean, we saw all the freaking Uber Eats and DoorDash and delivery from McDonald's, Burger King, all the fast food places now deliver.
More available.
Yeah, it's even more available now. That food is it's still, you know, everything. There's still dollar menu at all those places. And even more so now with the economy, people either having less money probably and then having even more reason not to go to the grocery store. I mean, the amount, I'm scared to see what the numbers are. You know, probably would be coming out next. Now I guess it's every 2 years removed, so it'd be coming out in 2022 about what the last 3 years have been, or last 3 years are going to be. That's pretty terrifying. And I mean, just to speak from our, you know, from our point of view, I mean, I know we've talked about it before about how we make decisions for Ella. You know, it's kind of obviously, I know both Shannon and I had different kind of upbringings as far as food wise. You know, I ate a lot of fast food growing up. I'll definitely admit that, you know. Had my fair share of home cooked food, but definitely a lot of fast food kind of thrown in there too. And processed food for that matter. I mean, we were talking about reminiscing about cereal, I think a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
How foreign that is to us now, even though we both grew up on cereal, you know?
Seriously, it's so bizarre.
So, it's something that you really have to be diligent about, you know, and going to the grocery store is a huge component of it. And I know, like I said, nowadays it's made tougher with pandemic and in COVID itself, but, you know, you got to strap that mask on and go. Mm-hmm. That's something that's worth going out there. And I'm not obviously not saying worth going out and fighting COVID, but it's worth, you know,
if you're
wearing
able.
A mask. And yes, of course, yeah, if you're not compromised. But as Shannon kind of alluded to, sadly, the trend of eating fast food and ultra processed food can lead to, you know, health issues like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, fatty liver disease, you know, and basically any type of inflammatory kind of disease or syndrome that sadly can make you compromised and make you more susceptible, or, you know, to COVID. So it's once again, it's a double-edged sword. If you fall victim to eating a tremendous amount of fast food and processed food, it leaves you more susceptible to, or makes you even more so want to avoid going into places that could or possibly contract COVID.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a scary situation all around. You know, I mean, the obesity epidemic was a scary situation before COVID came around, and COVID just made it even more, made all Americans realize how fragile or how poor our health is right now as a nation. And it's starting with our kids, you know, it's starting with adolescents. It's not like it's an adult problem. Obviously, these don't have any obesity rates numbers in it right now, but I mean, it's definitely trending up.
Yeah.
It's trending up with younger kids. I mean, childhood obesity and childhood, you know, like I said, type 2 diabetes and fatty liver disease is going up. And it's nothing is, I think this pandemic, hopefully, maybe there's some trends of people, like we've talked about, way more people growing gardens, maybe people making bread, things like that.
Making
maybe
their own food, growing their own food, cooking more at home.
Yeah, hopefully the home cooking trend starts to increase, and you know, it might be time. I'm not a fan of big government or anything like that, but I mean, I don't know what the solution is, but maybe stop marketing the kids. As far as fast food goes, I know that's a whole nother onion to peel, but
I know
there's a reason why. I mean, Happy Meals are, I know they're changed now. I know they actually have changed and updated.
They're barely marketed anymore.
I know, but I definitely, you're right. But things like, I'm sure there's rules now.
Actually,
but it's,
those are better than most of the stuff on their menu.
No, you're right. I know that was just the, kind of the first thing that came to my mind, but it was
I mean, it's like
even the thing, like, I mean, the delivery and all that stuff, and the Uber Eats. I mean,
well, look at the cereals.
Yeah, like those cereals ads. And, I mean, we talk
the ones that are like all sugar. Dude, those things used to dominate when I actually did watch TV.
Yeah.
Like it would dominate like the Saturday morning cartoons. Mm-hmm.
And then like
of course I wanted the Lucky Charms.
And even like juice and stuff. I mean, like Lucky I said, Charms. We're getting off on tangents now, but yeah, I mean, there has to be something done. It's got to be a two-pronged thing, whether it's it has to be education of adults and of kids, of course. Yep. But it also has to be some level of control on the companies that are trying to sell their product to kids that's causing these issues. So,
yeah.
I don't know what the solution is, but I think they need to start in those both of those kind of areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, not great news. No, we don't want to.
It's not exactly a happy update.
No,
but
no, but you know,
kind just, of just a reality
yeah,
check.
Yeah, just you know, everybody is susceptible. Everybody is susceptible to running, you know, running late and going through a drive-thru. I think that is something that happens to us all. But numbers like this, where 36% of kids are getting it, going to get fast food at least once a day, is disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah, well, and you brought up the point, like fast food, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to McDonald's or like Burger King or like what is traditionally known as a quick service restaurant. Like that quick service now also includes places like Starbucks, yeah. Dunkin' Donuts, and those places, they don't even necessarily market to kids. But the fact that some of their drinks are like these like colorful sugar whipped like dreamy concoctions named after mythical characters, I mean, it's going to attract kids.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, you know, you would think a Starbucks is a coffee place and they started off as like a, you know, just straight up Seattle coffee place, and then
They branched out.
But even like coffee in general, I mean, was never really something that kids, that was, you know, catered to kids.
I know.
You know, and now it's like freaking.
Now it's the most popular beverage in the country.
Yeah, it's
people drink more coffee than they do freaking water.
I know, and I was started drinking coffee young, so I don't think I have room to talk, but it's yeah, it's interesting to see how it's changed and how, well, the beverage itself, and that's thanks to places like Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and everything, and any coffee place under the sun. But yeah, so it's an uphill battle that we have to fight on all fronts. You know, I'm sure people have seen the stories that, you know, you're more, and we've just talked about it, how you're more susceptible to really suffering some serious side effects of COVID if you have a pre-existing condition like type 2 diabetes or heart disease or basically something that could be due to a metabolic syndrome brought on by obesity. This is a trend that we need to start reversing. We started going down in the early 2010s. And now we're going back up, and hopefully, maybe we can right the ship somehow, some way, and you know, maybe take a little bit more. I don't get too political on this, but you know, our current president, you know, serving McDonald's at the White House. Not saying I hate to drag McDonald's into this, because I know they. Well, they're not to blame necessarily, but, you know, I don't know. It's not a great example to be shown by some people in power, you know. Anyways, that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say about that. So, but we do have to talk about what we are getting pumped, or what's got us pumped, right?
Yes.
So what's got you pumped? I'll let you go first.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, this week, what's got me pumped is an app on my phone, and it's also, you can access it on your desktop too, but I have it on my phone. Hadn't looked at it in a while, and Recently, I've just really, maybe it's because we finally are moved into a new house. We're now like, you know, unpacked, we're settled in. I really miss reading. And granted, I've not really, I feel like over the last few years since becoming a parent, I've just not had a lot of time or energy for it, but I just really miss reading books. And a lot of books that I have, as I was unpacking and stuff, I have a lot of like health related books, and I feel like books for me are a sort of self-care, and it's also a way that I, you know, broaden my mind, broaden my experiences, insights, the whole range. I mean, it's just all aspects. It's just amazing for me, and I feel like I need to do more of it. So the app that's got me pumped is called Goodreads. And if you do like to read, then you probably are familiar with this. It's basically like your, if you were to keep like a book list and like a library of your own digitally, of just kind of like your thoughts on books, books you've read. If you read a good amount of books over any course of time, you have favorites, you know, you want to track them, you want to see like when authors are coming out with new ones, you want to see what your friends are reading. I came across the fact that I feel like a lot of people down here in Florida, not as many of them read books as like, not the people that I are most exposed to, at least, or have been exposed to. Like, I feel like there just weren't a lot of readers, and I couldn't get recommendations from them. I was running into walls trying to ask people like what they're reading. I have my friends up north who always have like several books going. We actually had a book club at one point. And this is like a nice version of a book club with a much larger group of people. And you can get information on what your friends are reading. You can find new books. You can keep track of what you've read. I just added several books to my want to read pile, which is rapidly growing. And I've gotten to see what some of my friends are reading right now, which all of that is just, it makes me happy. So I'm so excited, like, to be getting back into this, and I'm going to use this to keep myself on track and also just have a steady stream. I actually have a bunch of books in my current library that I haven't read yet. So it's not like I'm going to run out of materials, but I like finding the inspiring reads, or maybe I'm in the mood for a beach read, or maybe it's a health or a biography. I like being able to pick. This gives me everything right at my fingertips.
Cool. Well, the thing that's got me pumped is the fact that I finally got around to giving some of my virtual clients some quote-unquote gifts. Some of these people have been basically training with me throughout, basically, you know, when we went into quarantine, I had to shut down in-person services. They were training with me virtually, and they have stuck with me virtually. So I wanted to show them a little bit of thanks and also make their workouts, their virtual workouts, I think, even more productive. I bought a few things, and we talked about it, I think, a few weeks back. You know, bought some yoga blocks for some clients, bought a jump rope for a client. Actually one thing that I thought was pretty cool was, I wanted to get a couple of my clients that are working with me on their phone. I got them a telescoping, phone holding stand. So basically, you know, they were resting their phone against or propping up against something to try to make sure to see me and work out. And then every time they moved, they would have to move the phone So now I got him a little like a tripod, essentially a telescoping tripod. That's the word I wanted to say. That holds a phone, so it makes it a little bit easier. Gets it off the ground and stuff like that. Change the angle so I can see what they're doing better, and they don't really just need to worry about the phone falling over or anything like that. So I got that, and then I got something that's really got me pumped for a couple of the clients called the Penalty Box. The Penalty Box is this simple little piece of exercise equipment. It's a square, and then inside of it, it has four, I guess they're squares, they might be rectangles, but has four little squares created in it when you lay it out. And you do a bunch of footwork drills. You can do lateral, you can do forward, but it also, you can actually pull up some of the mark, the basically the I guess it's a center kind of sash in the middle to make it a hurdle. So you can do like hurdles, you can do leg lifts over it, you can do core exercises. It's pretty cool. It's some it's a simple piece of exercise equipment. I think it's Penalty Box Fit on Instagram. It shows a lot of cool drills, but it's really good. I use it with a lot of youth clients, but you know, with my virtual clients, it's hard to get a lot of cardio exercises in it for some people. So this one's pretty cool, and I'm a big fan of it. And it's easy to travel. It folds up and go in a suitcase, no problem. So go in a briefcase, no problem. So I was pretty pumped about that.
That's awesome. Yep. And I'm sure your clients greatly appreciate the thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this. I think the virtual client clientele is going to keep growing because it's something that's, it's, I don't want to say a necessity nowadays, but it's a viable option for people. So I'm going to keep growing that because it's I think effective. So
yeah.
All right, another great episode in the books. You know, a lot of useful, hopefully useful information for you guys. And if you guys got topics you want us to touch on, please reach out. All our contact information is at the end of the episode. So we'd love to hear from you guys. You can also let us know what you think by giving us a rating review in Apple Podcasts or the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page.
Yeah.
Got anything else for him this evening?
No.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast. And we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, at the ATF Podcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks. Are you ready?
The podcast.